Well, I've been to lots of Sunday schools, and I guess the ones I like the most are the ones that have lots of stories, and because I can relate to stories for myself. I want to tell you two stories at the beginning, and then we'll have a story from the Word of God, and we'll have maybe a few other stories mixed in, but the first story is about a man, and some of you have probably heard this story before, so I apologize if you have, but it's a story that I can't forget. It's so important to me. And it was a friend of mine told me this story that it happened in Montreal in Canada and in the state of, or in the province of Quebec. And so this man, this friend of mine, always went to a retirement home with a group of other young people, and they would sing to these the residents that were there. And there was this one particular man that was very opposed to being saved. He had never asked the Lord Jesus to be his Savior. And hopefully there's nobody like that today here that has rejected the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Each one of us, hopefully, have asked the Lord Jesus to be their Savior. Well, this man, week after week, he would listen to what was said, and he would listen to the hymns, but he would never accept the Lord Jesus as a Savior. He didn't think he needed it. And one day, this man, this friend of mine, was walking down the long row that was off, like sort of led to the man's room where he stayed. And he could see the man on his bed, and the man was crying. He was holding a letter. And so his name, Dave Mearns, actually, is the one that told me this. And so Dave went into his room, and the man said to him, he said, "You know, I've waited 100 years to be saved. And the Lord in his goodness has waited 100 years for me." And what he had on his lap was a letter from the Queen of England at that time. And each person in Canada, now they get a letter from the King, I guess, but when they turn 100, they get a congratulatory letter. "Hey, you've made it to 100 years old." And this man realized when he opened the letter from the Queen that he'd waited 100 years to get saved. Now, is there anybody here today that's not saved? And let me ask you this question. How many years have you waited to get saved? You know, maybe you've put it off this time and that time and this time and that time. Well, how many years have gone by? Maybe you're only 10. Maybe you're 12. Maybe you're 6. But have you put it off? Or have you come? You have the opportunity today to come to the Lord Jesus, to accept him as your Savior. You know, this man waited 100 years to come. You say, "Well, okay, that's an old guy." Yeah, he was 100 years old. There's nobody I know that's 100. You know, in Rideau Ferry, where I live, there's a brother that's 97, Uncle Sam. And, you know, we love Uncle Sam. He's great. He loves all the kids. He loves all the young people. I've known him my whole life. And many know Uncle Sam. Now I want to tell you the second story. This is a story that happened not so long ago near us. And it's a sad story. But it did happen. This is a story about a little girl who was 10. And so she had one of these ATVs, all-terrain vehicles. They're called ATVs. And she and her two brothers were going along the side of the road by their house. And something happened, but the ATV flipped over. And the two little boys got thrown off. But the little girl got crushed by the ATV. And there were some people that were driving down the road, and they found her. And when they found her, she was gone. You say, why are you telling me this sad story, Paul? Well, I'm telling you this sad story because the little girl was only 10. And she might have thought, oh, I have lots of time. I can put it off a little longer. But she didn't have lots of time. She was only 10 when she went to heaven. So that's the rest of the story. My wife and I decided that we should go to the funeral home to be a comfort to her parents. So we went to the funeral home. There was a few other people that were there who had children who realized a little bit how hard this would be for the parents to go through. And we saw at the door of the room that we went into this little flyer that had this lady's name, girl's name on it. And we turned it over, and on the back side was a picture of something that she had written when she was visiting her family in Hawaii. And it was a little, maybe a blackboard that she'd written a verse on, but she wrote that she loved Jesus. Now, I want to ask you this. Do you love the Lord Jesus? You know, if you don't love the Lord Jesus, you need to. And you know, I love the Lord Jesus very much because the Lord Jesus loved me enough to die for me. And is there somebody here today who can't say that? That I don't love Jesus. I know he died for me, but I've never accepted him as my Savior yet. You know, this little girl, she loved the Lord Jesus. And you know what her dad and mom told us? We were standing right with her dad and mom. And her mom said, you know, our little girl, she taught us about Jesus. She was only 10. But she told her dad and mom and taught them about the Lord Jesus. Now, boys and girls, you can have a good impact on your parents. And this little girl did that with such an encouragement. And you know, that little picture that they had of the blackboard that their girl had wrote about her loving the Lord Jesus, that was a tremendous comfort to them because they knew where she was. She wasn't with them anymore. Her body was in the casket. Or the coffin that was, the casket that we saw. But she was with the Lord Jesus in heaven, and that was a real comfort. One other question for you children. Have you ever told your dad and mom that you belong to the Lord Jesus? Have you ever confessed the name of the Lord Jesus? Those are important things because, you know, accidents do happen sometimes. It's a real comfort to dad and mom. They know that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus. Well, now it's time to open the Word of God and to read another story. And this story actually did happen a long time ago. But God, in His wisdom and His faithfulness and in His love, put this story in the Bible. It's a sad story in some ways, but it's an encouraging story in others. Now, before we read this story, I think there's some people here that know the memory verse for this week from the Sunday school paper. Is that right? Who wants to say it to be a help to everybody? You already gave out a hymn. You're going to be another help. Okay. Okay, so let's open our Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 12. So Proverbs chapter 12. So So we know that the Proverbs were written by King Solomon, and we know that the Proverbs are heavenly wisdom for an earthly pathway, right? That's what the Proverbs are. And King Solomon wrote these down when he was going on well with the Lord, the early part of his life as king, right? So it says in chapter 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now, I found out this was the memory verse yesterday. Mr. Grinton told me. But the Lord directed me to the chapter that we're going to read this story in before, but it actually answers to this verse very well. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21, and this is a chapter that is kind of sad, but there's some important lessons in this chapter. And it's maybe a little bit difficult for the youngest of the children that are here to understand exactly, but I'm going to tell you something. Somebody brought you to Sunday school today, right? You say, well, my mom brought me, or my dad brought me, or both of them brought me. Well, if there's something that we have today that we're talking about that you don't understand, then you can ask them to tell you more. Or you can ask me after, or one of the other ones, and we'd be happy to do that. So let's read 1 Kings chapter 21, first of all. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So that would be right next to the palace of the king of Samaria, whose name was Ahab. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned his face to the wall and turned away his face and would eat no bread. So let's stop there for a minute. So here's this king, and he was actually a wicked king. He served idols. He worshipped idols. And you know what? He had a very naughty wife. And her name was Jezebel, and we've probably heard about that before. And Jezebel was so wicked that she actually had some of the Lord's people killed, particularly the ones who were faithful to God. She persecuted those that were followers of God, got rid of them. Very solemn. But Ahab was her husband, and Ahab was the king of Israel. And he went to this man, Naboth, and he said, Naboth, I want your land. It's right near my palace, and, you know, I want to make an herb garden in it. Instead of it being a vineyard where they grow grapes and make wine and so on, I want it to be a garden of herbs for me, for my pleasure. And Naboth said, oh no, I can't give up my inheritance. This is the land that God gave my family. This is very important to me. You can't have it. And Ahab, he was used to getting his own way, I think. And he was kind of, it says, he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Now this is the king. What kind of a king would this be? He didn't get his way, so he had kind of like a pout. Like, didn't like it. Laid on his bed and wouldn't eat a meal. Well, let's see what happens. Verse 5. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, "Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread?" And he said, "Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, 'Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give it thee another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give thee my vineyard.' And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, 'Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.'" You know, sometimes we think that, how can I say it? You know, I read it a certain way, and you say, well, why is he reading the Bible like this? Well, this is kind of how I think it was. This guy was having a pout, and his wife said, "What are you doing? Aren't you the king? Get the vineyard." Right? It's a sad story that happens. We'll read it. Verse 8. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, "Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die." And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And as it was written in the letters that she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth did blaspheme God and the king." Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth is stoned and is dead." So do we get the picture now? Jezebel writes a letter, and she communicates with those in authority in the town where this man lived, Naboth. And she said, "Just have this feast and then get these two bad men to come in and say that Naboth blasphemed God and the king, and then take him out and kill him." And you know what? They did. That's what those in authority in this town of Jezreel, that's what they did. They did exactly what Jezebel said to do. They did the wrong thing. Those in authority did the wrong thing. And we're going to talk a little bit to us as older ones, too. The Sunday school is for the children, but it's for us, too. You know, those in authority don't always do the right things when they're told to do wrong. We need to be exercised that we do the right thing always as believers in the Lord Jesus for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus. Well, it's interesting in verse 14. Then they sent to Jezebel saying, "Naboth is stoned and is dead." Well, it says in verse 8, she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. So those in authority in Jezreel, they knew exactly where this commandment had come from. It came from Jezebel. So they sent communication back to her and said, "Hey, we did it, Jezebel." So let's read on now. It came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead." And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Okay, so Jezebel gets the communication that Naboth's dead. So she goes to Ahab and says, Ahab, go get your vineyard. You got it now. Now, we got to remember what happened here. The elders, those in authority in Jezreel, they did what Jezebel said. But the whole time this was happening, God was looking down from heaven. He was listening to everything that was said. He saw everything that was done. Now, we're going to have a little chat about this. That's the same for you and for me, right? Everything that we have said, everything that we do, have done, and everything that we even think God knows about. Now, we're reading this story and we're saying, well, that's terrible what Jezebel did. She had this man murdered so that her husband could have this place for his garden of herbs. You say, well, that's crazy. That's terrible what she did. It's awful. It's wicked. Yeah. But God saw that. Now, what about us? Have we ever done anything wrong? I have. God saw all. I've seen everything that I've done. He's seen everything I've said that was, he heard everything that I've done, said wrong too. And you know what? It's the same for you. God knows everything. We don't get away with anything. And this story is in God's word because Ahab and Jezebel, they didn't get away with what they did. And neither will you get away with what you've done. And neither will I. Now, the Lord Jesus paid on the cross for everything that I did. Everything I said. Everything that I've ever thought that's wrong. Can you say that? That the Lord Jesus paid for me when he died on the cross for my sins? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin? Huh. Wonderful. Okay, we're going to read a little more. Verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet King Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and so on. So, here we have the story unfolding. Jezebel gets the communication that Naboth is dead. She says to her husband, go possess your vineyard, it's yours now. So he goes to the vineyard. But God was working, and God called his prophet, and he said, Elijah, I want you to go to the same place. I want you to go to the vineyard and I want you to meet King Ahab. That's exactly what he did. He was obedient. He went to the vineyard. And what does Ahab say? He says, verse 20. Ahab said unto Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? What do you mean? Why does he call Elijah an enemy? Elijah was only telling him the truth. What he had done. Bringing his conscience, his sin. So Ahab calls him his enemy? No. He was being faithful to Ahab. He was bringing before him the truth. Now, maybe there's a boy or a girl here today and they're saying, boy, I just wish Sunday school was over. I wish he would stop talking about this story. If that's you, you have a problem inside. I can't see it. You all look nice. You all seem to be listening. But inside, are you right with the Lord? Inside. The outside light might look different. But what about inside? What are you saying inside? Are you saying, yes, Lord? Or are you saying, Okay, we're going to read a little further. So he brings this prediction of judgment upon the house of Ahab. Verse 21, behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, that's his children, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. You say, well, you know, this is kind of a tough story to have in Sunday school. Well, yeah, it is a tough. It's a sad story. But I'm going to tell you a few other things about this story. First of all, the names of the Old Testament are very important. Naboth means fruit. That's what his name means. So if I can say it this way, here's a man that's going on for God in a very dark day. And there's fruit in his life for God. And that's what I think we learn from his land being a vineyard. There was fruit for God. So this is a question for each one of us. Is there fruit for God in our life? There should be. But, you know, sometimes some difficult things happen to us in our life. Naboth experienced that. Now, I want to think for a minute about what Naboth said no about. Naboth said, no, I'm not going to sell my inheritance. Now, why did he not want to sell his inheritance? Well, back in Leviticus, we read that they weren't supposed to sell their inheritance because their inheritance was given to them by God. This is for each one of us too. You know, in Proverbs 23, we read that we're not to sell the truth. We're to buy it and sell it not, it says. Now, I've been given a lot by God. I know that. I'm thankful for that. Each one of us has been given a lot. Some of us have had to buy more than others. But let's not sell. Now, it goes on in that verse in Leviticus when it talks about not selling the inheritance. It says, don't sell the inheritance because it's mine. The inheritance belonged to God. That was the land of Israel. It was God's land. And if Naboth was going to sell to Ahab, what was Ahab going to do with that land? Think about it for a minute. He was going to make it a garden of herbs. Now, I've done a lot of work for people. in my area as a contractor. They plant herbs, but they also have idols. And Ahab was an idol worshiper. And this was God's inheritance. It belonged to God. There was no way Naboth wanted to have idols on his property, on his inheritance that God had given him. Yes, there'd be herbs, but there might be little shrines and places of to worship false gods. This was characteristic of Ahab. And Naboth said, no way. Because it was God's and he had an appreciation for that. And I hope each one of us really gets the teaching of this in our souls. Let's not sell what we have. Let's value it. Naboth did, but there was a cost to Naboth. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about what happened in Naboth's family. And you children, I want you to listen to this. Later on in the Bible, in 2 Kings, I think it's the 9th chapter, it talks about a judgment that came upon Ahab for his wickedness. One of the things was because he had killed this man, Naboth. But it didn't stop there. He killed Naboth, but he also killed Naboth's boys. This is really sad. Because if he killed Naboth, then his boys, and his boys were left alive, then his boys would inherit this vineyard. And Naboth said, okay, we got to get rid of Naboth and we got to get rid of his boys. I don't know how old they were. But his boys died that day too. Wasn't this a wicked thing that this man did, Ahab? And you said, well, no, it was really Jezebel. No, it was Ahab. Because it was done in Ahab's name. And it was done with his seal. He was responsible for what Jezebel did. She was wicked in doing it. But the judgment of God fell upon his home, his family, and on Jezebel because of his wickedness. And so, you know, we have the opportunity today to accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But if we don't, there's a judgment ahead. And there was a judgment ahead for this king Ahab and for his wicked wife and his family. And so the way we live affects our descendants sometimes, and we need to be exercised as parents about that too. Okay, so then we're going to read in verse 25. But before we do, let's just read that verse in Proverbs chapter 12 again. So Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Ahab was a fool. It was right in his eyes to get the vineyard. He wanted it for herbs. Maybe for some of his idols. I don't know. But it was right in his own eyes. But God saw what he did. And God sees what we do too. Each thing. So the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In other words, the fool does whatever he wants. Is there anybody like that here? That you do whatever you want? You don't really care what God thinks? You know, that's a sad thing because the Bible, the Lord says you're a fool. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So now we're going to read verse 25 of chapter 21 of 1 Kings. And there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes. That's the words of Elijah. He rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah to the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. He hearkened. But you know, he didn't go far enough. You know, he ripped his clothes. He wore uncomfortable clothes. It says he went softly. But it never says he turned to God, does it? There was a change. And so the judgment that God had pronounced didn't come into effect right away. It was delayed a little bit because he humbled himself. But it doesn't say he humbled himself and turned to the Lord. It doesn't say that. It says he humbled himself and then it stops. Now, we're going to have a little bit of a question for each one of us. Have we turned to the Lord? Maybe there's been difficulties and things that have happened in our life that's humbled us, that's made us think. But just thinking about things and being sorry about judgment that's going to come isn't enough. We need to turn to the Lord, children. Each one of us, we need to turn to the Lord. That's our only hope for time and for eternity is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one alone. Before we sing one more, you know, there's another king in the Bible. It tells us about a story where he killed a man and possessed. And when a prophet came to him and told him about what God was thinking, how unhappy God was with what he had done, his response was that he had sinned. And you know, he made it right with God. You know, Ahab didn't do that. And so there is eternal punishment for Ahab. But there's blessing for the other king, David, who was sorry before God for what he had done. You know, each one of us, we have done things that were wrong. We know that. But the Lord Jesus is willing to forgive us our sins today. Come to him if you haven't yet. Okay, one more and then we're going to pray. Let's pray. Number three. Okay, let's just sing the first verse and the chorus and then we'll pray. Someone start it, please. Three.